recording it.
Yeah.
Leave around here before it starts, we'll be at the beginning.
That's the Sunday school.
That's the Sunday school. Matthew chapter 26, we're going to be looking at verse 1 to 13. Women played a large part in the events which surrounded the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Women sympathized with Christ. They tended to his earthly needs. They were at the cross, grieving for his suffering, but identifying with him. Women went to the tomb, and it was when the woman told the others that then the men ran. Ladies, us men need you so much. You are important beyond understanding in our lives. Now you may think, well, yeah, that sounds good, but I don't see that. Listen, your husband, he has such a responsibility before God. He bears a responsibility, but he needs your advice. He needs your input to whatever's going on. And men don't hesitate to get their input. Now, you have to do what you believe God wants you to do. And ladies, once you've given your input, that doesn't mean that he has to do that. But if you're praying for him, and if you men, now this what I'm saying only works with a man who wants to walk with God.
Amen.
Okay? But if you want to walk with God, your wife can trust you, and you ladies can trust him. Women were instrumental in the life of Jesus Christ. This event in our scripture text took place at the village of Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. Jesus frequently spent time in Bethany with his friends. And this is where he lived during his last week of ministry. Bethany is where he raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, Bethany is a mile or two from Jerusalem. So it's close, all right? Wouldn't call it a suburb, but it was close. Look at Matthew chapter 26. As I read, you follow in your Bible. And it came to pass, and he had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Now they heard him say that, but they didn't really comprehend fully what it meant. They knew what crucifixion was. They knew that he claimed to be the Son of Man, but somehow it didn't come together. You know, we know things at times, but somehow it just doesn't come together. Then with hindsight, what do we say? It's 20/20 vision. And after the fact, we can look back and we can see how all the parts came together. That was the way with the disciples. So verse 3, then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. That was the goal. Not the disciples, okay, but his enemies. But they said, we can't do this on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. It's just not a good thing to do it in holy days, okay? And now, here we are in verse 6. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, there's a key. When Jesus understands it, and he, listen, it doesn't matter what we say that sounds good, Jesus understands the heart.
Amen.
And the attitude of the person. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? Can you imagine this woman comes in with this alabaster box, pours the ointment on Jesus, anoints him, and then she stands there and hears her act criticized. Now, if you've been in church very long, if you've been a servant in the church doing something, I don't mean to serve in the church like our ladies are, but if you've been serving in the church doing something, you're going to get criticized. And it won't, it's sometimes it happens you're doing something or you just did something and up speaks two or three people criticizing what you just did. Now, if what you did was wrong, then that needs to be dealt with. But not right there in front of everybody. For God's sake, don't do to somebody else what you wouldn't like to be done to you. But such is the boldness of such people. And it's not only back in Bethany in this house, it's sometimes in Black Creek in this house. And so this story took place on the Lord's last Sabbath. Simon was the host. Lazarus was an honored guest. You can read that in John chapter 12 and Mark chapter 14. They have those two accounts. You get the full picture when you read Matthew, Mark, and John. And so Lazarus, as the honored guest, was there. Mary and Martha helped prepare the meal. Then Mary slipped away and returned with a box, an alabaster box, it says. Now, that's a gypsum of a fine grain variety. It's typically white with delicate shadings of color. And it's easier to work with than marble. Gypsum could even be used on a lathe. And so it was very, very popular thing of the day. Or so I'm told when I read books that talked about gypsum, okay? In case you're a gypsum expert and know differently. The contents of this alabaster box was an ointment. She poured the ointment on his head. One passage of this says that she also rubbed his feet with her hair. The disciples immediately objected. You read that in John chapter 12. Judas, speaking out, speaking for them, claimed that it could have been sold and the money given to the poor. You know, when somebody objects to something that's done, they'll always try and tag their objection to something that's good. We could have given this to the poor. They didn't care about the poor. And so in the church, when somebody's doing something, and something's done, and then people speak up and say, oh, you know, we could have used the money for this or that or something else. In other words, anything but what's being done. I get a little excited when I talk about those sort of things. Many things people say sound good and may in and of themselves be true. But Jesus knows the heart. And he knew the heart. It says when Jesus understood in verse 10. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean like he had to sit and think it out and figure it out. Jesus understood why these disciples, and it says disciples, so it wasn't just Judas. It doesn't say how many of the disciples, but there was more than one. More than Judas. Was it Peter? Was it John? Okay? I'm Bartholomew, and I don't remember any of the other names, okay? Was it, which one was it? And so Jesus recognized the heart, and he also recognized not only their heart in complaining, he recognized the heart of Mary in the action she was giving. And that's significant. To Mary, Jesus Christ was very precious. So very precious that she wanted to worship him. Every one of us has come to church today, but not every one of us will worship him. Just because you're in church and we go through a form that enables worship does not mean that everyone worships. And that should be one of our prayers. Not only that we go to church, but that we worship. Jesus, our Lord, is worthy of our most precious worship. Precious meaning valuable, special, to give him worship. How precious is he to you? Peter says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. He should be and can be precious to you if you'll believe in him as your Savior. He is worth worshiping. He was God in the flesh. He took our human flesh so he could die on the cross for us. You see, you can't nail a spirit to the cross. But when he came down and took on the form of man, he did it so it could be nailed to the cross. And now forever he has that body. And even though his body was perfect, he allowed the nail prints to remain so that we'd be able to see. We'll get a perfect body. My wife, Pat, is looking forward to that. One that doesn't have the limitations that hers now has. But you know, just like the nail prints remain in Jesus' hands, what might he let remain in us as a reminder to us for all of eternity what he's done for us? Now, what he might let remain won't be a limitation. I don't believe anybody will be up there limping, okay? I don't think Brother Dale will have a bad back up there. But I don't know how he might do what I'm just imagining. There's a gospel song that Amy's father sings. He was an evangelist, Dave Mizell. And it's about when you get to heaven and you walk on streets of gold. What is it? Hallelujah Square. Is that the name of it? Hallelujah. It's a great song. Do you have that anywhere on a disc or recorder or anything? You did? You gotta get hold of one of that. And we can play that for the folks. It's marvelous. He's precious to the believer because he is the foundation of our faith. the songwriter wrote, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." His blood is precious. As we observe the Lord's Supper today, it's the only way for our sins to be blotted out. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. And so we urge you, if you have not trusted Christ as Savior, to think about the fact that Jesus shed his blood to pay the price for your sins. And we urge you to follow him. What precious worship can we give to Christ? We have no alabaster box, and even if we did, it wouldn't matter because we could not recreate Mary's act with any significance. We give to Christ. We have no precious ointment, and even if we did, we would not be able to pour out that ointment. But we have something very valuable that we can give, and that's ourselves. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto our Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Since he gave himself for us, he has full right to expect full offering of ourselves to him. You may as well break the alabaster box of your life and worship Him. Oh, it's not easy, for your life is valuable to you, just as that stone box and its contents were valuable to Mary. Now, Judas was right. He says it could have been sold for much. It was valuable. Your life is valuable. And I understand that it took a working of 300 days to earn enough to buy that box and its ointment. I also understand that this container and its contents was kept by a woman for her wedding night. In other words, it represented many dreams and hopes. But Mary held nothing back. When it came to worshiping and her serving Jesus Christ, she did not hold anything back. So I asked the question, how precious is He to you? What precious worship will you give Him? Your life, you? Are you willing to live for Jesus, regardless of how much sacrifice will be involved? I urge you to be what you ought to be. Doing, doing, doing. Friends, doing will never balance out not being what we need to be. You can picture a balance scale. And if a person is light on being what they ought to be, okay, then they'll try to compensate for that. They'll try to do and do and do and do so they can balance it. No, won't work.
No.
You need to be what God can have you be. If being what God wants you to be would cause you to do less, because you begin to realize you're doing what you're doing to try and somehow to earn God's favor. As an unsaved person, to try to somehow get you in a condition that you could get saved, that won't work. And maybe as a Christian, you're doing because you feel that somehow that'll make things good between you and God. He already made things good between you and God. Just be what He wants you to be. What He wants you to be. I'll be what You want me to be, dear Lord. Yeah, the songwriter wrote. What others thought and said about her. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Waste! Anything you do for Jesus Christ with a right heart is not a waste. Well, I went down there and I did this and I did that and nobody noticed. What a waste of time. You're doing it for the wrong reason. And something you do for Jesus is not a waste. It's valuable worship. See, we don't often think about that. That some of the practical things that we do for Jesus in our home, I'll wash the dishes for you. I'll wash the car for you. I'll fix the sink upstairs. I'll carry the groceries in. Whatever you do within the home is pleasing to Jesus when you do it with the right heart. He that gives a cup of water in my name. That's how we serve Jesus. You say, well, my neighbor, her husband carries the grocery in too. He ain't doing it for Jesus. No, he's probably not saved. But if you're saved, you're doing it for Jesus. Or you're trying to do it and live somehow outside of being a Christian. Listen, you can't separate yourself as a Christian. You can live wrong. You can live like anybody else lives, but you can't separate and say, well, I'm just living humanly there, but over here I'm living spiritually. That's a lot of hoops. You're one person, and you live one life, and only what's done for Christ will last. Verse 9 in Matthew, some people always have a better way. This could have been sold for much and given to the poor. Jesus said it very well. He said unto them, look, you always have the poor with you. In other words, you're selling this ointment and giving it to the poor is not going to meet the need of all the poor. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try and meet the need of the poor. But what Jesus was saying, worshiping him is important. You say, well, I don't give much money to the church. I give it to, and then you name the charity. You feel so good. Because they take it and they help the poor. Sounds good. But if you're a Christian, your responsibility is to give to the church. He even gives us a guideline. He calls it the tithe. But if you've really been blessed by God, you can give love offerings in addition. That's what he calls them in the Bible. Oh, some people always have a better idea, a better way. Better than God's way? What in the world could be better than God's way? You have an awful high estimation of yourself. You think you're better than God. If you think you can do it a different way than what God says, well, you can, but it's to your own condemnation. You ought to go God's way. I've lived for God since I'm 15. I'm now 76. What is it, 61 years? Wow. Okay. And I've never regretted it. My grandfather told me about the verse in Psalms, okay, where God leads us and he provides for us. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. It's obvious that I don't need to beg bread. Yeah. God provides. You can't find a better life than God's life. You say, well, my life's pretty good. I'm satisfied with it. Ooh, you can get a better life. Better. The outward conditions may continue as they are, but your inner man will be better. So I'm satisfied. God can give you more. God can make you better. What can be better than to serve a holy, omnipotent, righteous, wonderful, everlasting, infallible Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to close this message with Revelation, if you'd like to turn to it. I'm looking at the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation, chapter 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's what you've been created for, God's pleasure. Now look at chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song. Say, who's they? Read the other part of the chapter and you'll learn. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongues and people and nation. Man, we get to heaven. There isn't going to be, we'll recognize Asian people, we'll recognize Spanish people, we'll recognize Italians, okay, Caucasians, we'll recognize all of that, but it ain't going to matter. There'll be be no possibility of anybody claiming racism. Okay? And there won't be any thought of racism. Well, I'm not going over there on that golden street because they've got them kind of people there. It won't be that way in heaven. And then look at verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, here it is, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb, our precious Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to observe the Lord's Supper. He is worthy of all that we will give. Now, normally at this point in time, pastor comes up and leads it, but he's weak from the flu.
Recovered but weak.
And so he asked me to lead